Okay, good morning, everybody. Could I encourage you to take a seat, Patricia? Excellent, it worked. So I'm trying to keep my reputation for starting on time, but also very much aware that the observant amongst you will notice that we're not at the GAC. We had a bit of a schedule glitch, so we thought we were due at the GAC for 9, and thank you for turning up at the GAC at 9, but unfortunately the GAC thinks we're due at 10. And so we've had to jiggle our schedule just a little bit, so apologies for that. So let me just start by thanking once again the Czech Registry for their wonderful hospitality yesterday evening. And I hope that the shortage of people in the room just this morning means that maybe the beer was very good. Anyway, our schedule for today. So we're going to start with the Finance Working Group and CCTRD contributions. We are then going to go to the GAC. And on our GAC schedule today, just for colleagues' information, we have the FOI working group update. Particularly, this will be of interest to the GAC because there is some discussion about the GAC principles in that regard. Then we have our presentation to the GAC on the country names study group, which is also of interest to the GAC. And then I'm afraid we have again our ops plan comments and budget. But again, the council felt that it's very important that GAC colleagues hear the CCNSO concerns because obviously they wouldn't have been in the session we had with the board. So apologies and hope that you can tolerate hearing those messages again, but we felt it was important. We are then going to have coffee, and then we will move on to the very popular CCTRD news session and the regional organisation updates. That takes us up to lunch at 1 o'clock, and in the afternoon we move on to our also very popular panel discussion, and the topic for this session is on internet governance and can CCTRDs influence the outcome of WICKET. So we have, I think, a very good panel set up for that, and I very much hope that Keith will deliver on his promise to deliver some controversy and some contrasting views in that panel. So that's what we're up to today, and we'll make a start with finance.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm going to be, I'll just have to be straight up with you in that today is going to have to be a little bit ad hoc given the Finance Working Group isn't where we anticipated to be this morning. And I know there are a number of you in the room yesterday when we gave our update out of schedule, but for those who weren't in the room, I'll provide a bit of an update, and then I want to take hopefully the opportunity to have a bit more of a brainstorming session around this issue than was originally planned for this particular time slot. So for those who weren't here yesterday, the Finance Working Group met on Sunday and met with Xavier, the new or the relatively recent ICANN CFO. As most of you probably know, there were three real work deliverables for this for the Finance Working Group. The first was around analyzing the various contribution models that were possible. The second was doing survey quantitative research to get a better sense of what the what this community perceived themselves to be contributing to the ICANN from a ICANN from a holistic perspective, as well as what services were actually being consumed by this community. And we did that and presented that in Costa Rica. And then the third real work activity or deliverable was analyzing the EAG and understanding the expense area grouping report that ICANN had been providing us and providing to the community over the past couple of years. It was a very high-level document, and as part of our work, we needed to actually understand what was in the EAG and how ICANN was coming to the number, depending on the year and the time, between $9.2 and $10.2 million allocated expenses against this community. That was the final piece of work to do before we actually brought them all together and came up with a recommendation. The recommendation was supposed to come forward for the Toronto meeting. This work group has been in existence for 20 months, and our goal was to conclude our work with a recommendation at the 24-month mark in Toronto. Unfortunately, ICANN has been slow in delivering its financial information to us. And in fact, Xavier came to the meeting on Sunday and with quite a surprise and indicated to us that he and the finance team at ICANN had lost faith in that particular financial application, and that they no longer had any confidence in its ability to appropriately allocate expenses to the various constituency groups, stakeholder groups. We hadn't had any warning of that, so needless to say, it was quite a surprise, and threw our work group's work plan into some considerable uncertainty. For those of you who saw our meeting with the board yesterday, we indicated that, and I think it's safe to say that it was a surprise to them too, which was another surprise to me that Steve Crocker appeared to be finding out about this, one of their primary financial reporting vehicles. He appeared to be finding out that it was no longer going to be used, I think, real time in the meeting, or if not real time, at least only moments before the meeting. So that was another surprise to the work group. So as a result, our ability to deliver our work product in Toronto is certainly unclear at this point. Xavier appears to be committed to finding a new path, a new solution, but at this point it is completely unclear how that is actually going to transpire. In the conversations I've had with participants of the work group, there's certainly a willingness and a desire to continue to find a way forward. A lot of good work has been done. Clearly this question needs to have some resolution. So what we do from this point forward is still certainly unclear. And as a result, this particular time slot, given most of us have actually heard this news and we don't have the work we'd anticipated, I thought, you know, we could take the opportunity to have more of a conversation and brainstorm and comments from other finance committee members in terms of the path forward. So with that, I would like to, and I know you all have yellow cards, so we can do some straw, or yellow, red, and green cards, rather. We can do some straw polls around some of the issues related to contributions. And I would also look to my finance working group colleagues to, you know, feel free to jump in at any point while I tap dance up here before we go to the GAC meeting. I know it's early, and I know the Czech folks put on a great dinner last night. So hopefully, your brains have started to activate, and we can get some interaction from the group. And not wanting to out people per se, one way or the other, I would be interested also in maybe getting an understanding from those who do contribute to ICANN right now and those who don't contribute, and get an understanding of some of the perhaps differences of opinion and ideas between the groups, being sensitive to that, though. So I guess one of the one of the points that we find ourselves at is we could easily, as a work group and as a community, say, okay, ICANN, you failed to deliver on your promise in terms of participation in this work group, and we can just hold up our hands and say, let us know when you can do something, which may be 1, 2, 3 meetings, or whenever. Or we have done considerable work in looking at the models and understanding our own perceptions around our contributions holistically, as well as the services we believe that this community consumes. And we could simply carry on using that information as well as what we can glean from the ICANN financials. And just to be clear, those are not in question. The actual financials of ICANN are not in question. It was simply the EAG reporting tool that sat on top of them. That's all that's in question. I just want to make that very clear. But we do have this opportunity to take the financial statements as they are, take the work that we've done today, and actually progress forward using our numbers and in a sense, reframe the debate around our perceptions. You know, one of the interesting things I think that's happened in this discussion has been the fact that ICANN came out with the CAG 2.5-3 years ago, and a number of $9.2 million was allocated to the CCs in terms of what ICANN perceived themselves to be spending in support of this community. And that number stuck. And as we've seen now, using a tool that ICANN itself says is not valid anymore. But that number has stuck, and it's stuck to us, fair or not. So there is potentially the opportunity to reframe the debate with a number that we put out. Now that the tool has been discredited, we can put out a number through rational thought and a and a deep analysis, the deep analysis that we've done to date. And I'm not trying to sell that point of view. I'm saying there is an opportunity to do that. But there is also arguable and equally valid case to be made to say, you know what, we need the information from ICANN and we can't continue on at this point, and simply put the work group in hibernation. So I would just like to get some thoughts on the path forward, recognizing that the path forward is unclear at this point in time. So maybe I could convince some of my colleagues on the work group to offer up any comments they would have, and then I'll give the overall group a minute to think about that, and then feel free to jump in at any time. Lisa? Yeah, probably a mic given the nature of this room.
Hi, I'm Lisa from .dk, and I'm a member of the Finance Working Group. And, I was caught by surprise as the whole group by the message from ICANN, but I still think we should move forward and try to work with Xavier in finding a solution. But I really want the work to be done within the group. We also discussed that we have the whole group finding a way, because Xavier is trying to get a small group to work with him, and I think we should keep it in the working group. But I absolutely think we should go forward. And but Xavier is also talking a lot about the more philosophical side of contributions, and I think I'd really like to keep numbers. I really like to have the figures so I can try and figure out how much money do they use on us, because I see ICANN growing, I see ICANN spending a lot of money on things I don't relate to. So we really need the numbers too, and we also need the philosophical discussion. That's fine with me, but I think we need both.
Lisa brings up a good point, pardon me, in that Xavier did make, and I think this is actually a really relevant point to bring up, he did make the comment that he didn't see ICANN as a service organization. And by that, he was meaning that they don't provide services to us for which we should pay them some figure. That this was an organization that is here for the good of the internet, and we should simply pay our share. I mean, to paraphrase, and feel free to jump in if you don't think I'm doing it justice. But he was trying to draw that distinction. And I think, you know, in a sense, this work group and the SOP has done a lot of work on unpacking the numbers and actually forcing ICANN into a clearer discussion around the numbers. And when you do that, it gets a little more challenging for them to clearly rationalize the $9.2 million number that's out there. And that's where Xavier was trying to get into, well, we should have a philosophical discussion about what this community pays, should pay, is paying, and should pay. And I think that's an important distinction to raise, because that's certainly the first time that that thought has been injected into this conversation, that we really need to go back and think philosophically about what our role is, what ICANN's role is, and therefore, I don't know, somehow what the new equation should look like. So that is certainly a good point.
Just to add a bit more color to that, so the idea that ICANN doesn't provide services was a new one to us, because previously we had been talking about the services that ICANN provides, particularly the IANA function. And so it was a kind of, and also a surprise. And so we had some discussion around that, and there was a fairly blunt reminder for me that actually CCs really just need the IANA service and not a lot else, given ICANN's limited role, etc. And obviously that's not a conversation that we would wish to have in the wider public arena, but I thought the reminder was appropriate. There was also the use of the word fair, which I took some exception to on your behalf, because what is perceived as fair by some may well be perceived as unfair by others. And thankfully, to be fair, Xavier did listen to that, and that philosophical concept of fairness was not recycled for the board or other discussions, which was quite important. So it was an interesting meeting, really.
Mathieu? Oh.
Yeah. So Mathieu Rey from AFNIC France. As a member of the Finance Working Group, I was a witness of this interesting episode of the financial contributions feuilleton, as we say in French, the soap opera, we would say. I think we, coming back to the options that you described, Byron, I think we have a very good opportunity to reframe this debate, which we should not forget stems from unfairness feelings being expressed by the GTLDs and the GNSO in general, and relayed through the board to us. There is the people who were most involved in pressing us to work on financial contributions have left or are leaving. And Xavier's vision that the tools that were put in place to frame this debate around the 12 million or 9 million, that gives us a full range of opportunities where we can take that back with actually not one number, but two numbers. And it's thanks to the work from the Finance Working Group, we now have the ability to describe what we value. I'm not speaking only about services on purpose. What we value within ICANN and what value we're bringing. And I think this is extremely important. We can now go deeper into what we value, and there are two ways for that. One is to ask ICANN more figures about IANA, and they don't need the EAG for that. As Xavier was saying in the meeting, he can spit any figure if we are precise enough about what we're looking for. And I think so we should press this advantage to get more details about what we value at ICANN. And we should also pursue another way, which is basically we know what we value. Some of it we do ourselves. The IANA function is a registry function. There is widely available benchmark about how much it costs to handle registries. And I think we have expertise internally within the working group. And so it would be an interesting exercise to compare ICANN's figures to expert approved benchmark. So that's the first way forward, I think, and the first figures we can provide. And the second one is what value we bring to ICANN, where what we've been doing with the survey in the finance working group enables us to provide another figure and put it in the debate as the starting point for an upcoming discussions, because I'm convinced this discussion is coming back to us in the coming years, and I'd rather anticipate it and frame the debate than being reactive as we have had to do in the past. Thank you.
Thanks. Those are great comments. I particularly like the notion of what we value in ICANN versus what value we bring to ICANN. I think that in itself reframes the discussion in a very constructive way.
Okay, so we have Keith, and then Stefan, and then Martin, and then Roloff.
And Keith, way in the back, needs a mic.
Probably helpful if it's on as well. I think one thing that the CCTLD community grappled with way back in the early days was whether or not ICANN should be running anything that incurred expenses for this community. And I know even in the early CCNSO days we talked about, and I think we resolved to employ our own secretariat and pay for that out of our own contributions. So we're sort of, perhaps we're paying the price of allowing ourselves to have been indoctrinated into the ICANN financial system. But notwithstanding that, I think Matthew's points were really well made, and that we could potentially come up with a template of those sorts of costs that not only those that we feel that we should be obliged to pay, our own secretariat's costs, our own contractors' costs, probably that we should pay 20% of the board of directors' costs because we appoint 20% of the board from our community, whether or not you'd then argue we should pay 20% of the CEO's salary because they're roughly servicing the board on that basis. But there's a whole lot of debates that we could have within the working group we may be able to put to ICANN so that we could have some feeling for those parts of ICANN that we do use and should reimburse for, plus the cost of the IANA services, which remains the serious, mysterious number.
Thanks, Keith. Stefan, I think, is next.
Yes, StefanJohnson.ic. This is obviously a situation of negotiation that is almost permanent, and if there are two paths forward, it's either the number way or the philosophical way. We discussed this earlier, and I would really agree what already has been said in a way that the way forward in this is the number way, because once we take on board all the philosophical arguments and reasons, we have to face a whole lot larger issue than just the financial contribution. So for sure, the way forward is by numbers and not by philosophy. Thank you.
I think Martin.
Thank you. Martin Boyle from .UK. Yeah, I think like others before me, I have feelings of great nervousness over fair share, because fair quite often depends on exactly where you're sitting in the discussion. And I think there is certainly a degree of merit in the discussion of contributing to the public good, in other words, covering some of those general costs, as Keith indicated, of the board, but also perhaps of running the GAC and also enabling some other constituency participation. But my underlying point is that if we start getting drawn into the fair share discussion, I think we need to start thinking about the perception of other communities, and in particular the perception of the GAC, who already are starting to question whether ICANN is too dependent on revenue from the GTLDs. So I wonder whether one of the things we ought to be thinking about is developing the storyline and then starting to share that storyline with other communities about the things that the CCNSO contributes, but also the things that we don't do in ICANN, like an awful lot of our own policy development, which of course is the major part of the work of the GNSO for the GTLDs. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Good point. Maybe I'll just take this opportunity, since we have the cards in front of us, just a quick straw poll. I mean, I think I have a sense of the room, but quick straw poll on Finance Working Group carrying on and framing the debate as we see fit, for lack of a better term, versus waiting for ICANN to come forward with their version of financial numbers. So green for carry on, red for wait for ICANN. Okay. Okay, I just wanted to get a sense of, all right, I think that's relatively clear.
That was very clear from the front.
Duly noted, however.
Is that a red or an orange, Peter?
I think that was a red.
Yeah.
But duly noted. I think we've got a pretty good sense on that topic, so maybe we'll move on to another topic, and that, I think, would reflect one of the other primary work activities that we were engaged in, which was looking at some of the various models. And I know, I'm sure all of you have committed to memory the various models that we went over several meetings ago. But just as a refresher, I mean, there is a banded model, the type that we use right now. There, of course, I would say at one end of the spectrum is a per domain model. There's a fee-for-service model. There's some hybrids of those. So there are a range of different ones. For those of you involved in regional organizations, LACTLD Center, we looked at some of those types of models, as well anybody who's involved at all with the numbering side, the ARIN type models, which are fee-based. So there was a whole range of models, and maybe we could have a little bit of discussion around that, starting with the one that we use today is a banded model based roughly on domains under management. And given the broad categories of domains under management, that those who fall in that range make a general contribution that's similar to their peers in that range. So that's the one that's being used today. There are ways to tweak it and revise it. Regardless, it's probably worth looking at those bands again, given that that particular one has been in existence for quite a number of years, and obviously we've all moved on to some degree. Are there any thoughts on the various models? And maybe I would ask to get started some of the folks in the work group who did some of that analysis for their comments. And Roloff, you were on the list previously. Did you want to kick it off? No, you were actually on the list. You can decline, but you were on the list with your hand
so
up.
So I either have to.
But I've changed the topics on you.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So I either have to give up my place on the list or kick off the second point. Since I have the mic now, I think I'll just not do what you say and come back to the first point, because I think I very much agree with what Mathieu said and the addition that Keith had as a good approach. I'm a bit worried about, as you, about this, the expression of Xavier, if I cannot be in a service organization. I do hope that this is not an indication that they are preparing for losing the IANA function. But I think we have to be careful to be overly optimistic on how to work out that scenario of ourselves coming up with a reasonable or fair or right, was also a term that we had in that discussion, or appropriate contribution, because we would still need information on the cost of certain parts of the ICANN expenses. And if you look at the budget, they have a functional split up of the budget in 13 categories. They are very, very rough and broad. And I'm afraid that that's all that ICANN can do at the moment. So we risk that we end up in the same situation where we will ask, for instance, what are the board costs so that we can divide them by X and know what our contribution should be. And we will get a figure, and then we think, whoa, that's a lot of money. Can you please specify ICANN so that we know for sure that this is right, and you'll be waiting for another 2 years, and then they'll say, maybe that amount that we mentioned 2 years ago is not the right amount. So I think it's a good approach, but I think also that we have to be a bit realistic in our way of guessing or thinking how good the chance is that we, in the end, end up with the right figure or a fair figure. So it might be a good idea to have a parallel second track where we look at the total sum and try to come down with something we think is appropriate, just in case that the more, let's say, a technical approach doesn't work. Am I making myself clear? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. I think so.
But also, Roloff, if I can just chip in there, apparently myself and other members of the Finance Working Group know ICANN's budget better than some of the ICANN people, according to Steve yesterday. So I think probably we've got enough knowledge and experience to make a very good guess between us.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, we can always offer to do the bookkeeping.
Which is better than somebody else's guess.
Okay, thanks, Roloff. Any comments on some of the various models? Any thoughts? I guess the first thought is there satisfaction with the current banded model? Do folks feel there are other models that would be more appropriate that we've looked at, or even just thoughts on their own? Is the banded model a reasonable solution at this point? Do we not have enough information to think about that at 9:30 on Wednesday morning? Is that real off? No, please talk.
I think theoretically, It's a fair model. It's definitely not the best, at least not for me, because the way I would look at this, I would like to pay for the services that ICANN is providing. So for that, I would need the cost of those services with something on top of it. Then there would be a bit of services that I probably won't be taking all the time, but I think are still important, and I would like to voluntarily contribute to the cost of those as well. And then there is there would be a voluntary contribution for the cost of to support the cost of those organizations that cannot pay for services they're taking from ICANN themselves yet. I think that the problem with the banded model is that the first problem that we've always been facing is what is a fair fee to fit a certain band. And once we've come up with that, how do you determine in which band you are, and what happens if you think you should be in a lower band or don't contribute at all? I think that exactly is the problem of the model we have so far, that organizations or peers have problems in determining in which band they should be, if in any at all. So it gives the impression, and it's a term that we've heard very often mentioned outside the CC community, it gives the impression that they're free riders. We can still and fairly decide that we don't contribute at all. And I think that's what is annoying some of the constitutions outside the CC community.
And I think you've raised a key point there, is the notion of free riders. I mean, there are many who do contribute, and there are many who would be challenged, given their environments, to contribute, but still require the services, the baseline services of ICANN. And how do we fairly account for that? Some folks here operate well-funded large registries, and some folks don't have that benefit. So how do we deal with a very diverse group of registries that, in a sense, there isn't a classic curve of distribution? We have a very, very wide distribution in terms of number of domains under management, which gives us very different financial capabilities. So how do we recognize that in a fair way? Stefan?
Stefan Johnson.ac. Yes, well hopefully we start with the most common nominator, the one smallest item that actually is mutual to all. And then we build from there.
Because there is a hybrid of a band model, that there is some baseline number that recognizes the one function that we all share in common. And then on top of that, overlay some type of banded model. Because when I say a banded model, too, there are many variations on that theme. So when we talk about it, in a sense, it's directional for the working group, but it doesn't just mean it's exactly as it is today. There's still quite a range of opportunities within that, and one could just be a hybrid model. We all agree on IANA. That's one thing we can all agree on. What does that function or that service cost this community? And pay that baseline function, and then layer a banded model on top of that, which is more purely voluntary. Sabina, was your, do you have your hand up?
The question is, for me, the question is, what will happen if somebody don't pay? Will I can take the ultimate power plaque and pull out the top level domain? Most probably not. So I think what we can come up with is a model which may work for most of us, and we will still face people who can't contribute, who don't want to contribute, who don't feel be bound. And so far, I think a banded model is a good one, because it gives an indication to what the peers are paying. I'm not sure if it should be based purely on the number of domains. I think some indicator can also be the local internet community which is served, the size of the local internet community of the country, the cross product of that country, which makes it a little bit more differentiate between different registration models, which obviously are reflecting the size, the amount of domains. I learned recently that .tk will boost the CCTLD table and will go towards over .de, but as they offer their domains for free, I'm sure they don't have the financial capability we have, offer it for a low cost, but there are others being in other situations. So I think a mixture between number of domains maybe, but economic situation in the country, size of the local internet community may give an indication, but I think we should stick to the voluntary model, because I don't expect that if we set a model and the next question is, how do we actually decide on it? Do we do a democratic I don't see the possibility within our framework to come up with a figure which is then fully applicable to each of us on duty. So it will be a sort of a consensus-based building indication to each and everybody from us, where we can put a lot of different information in, which indicates for those of us who voluntarily pay why their peers are. I don't think that we will achieve more, because I don't think nobody will take the ultimate responsibility then to say if somebody don't pay, to cancel the contract and pull the plug. So, and therefore, there we are.
Can I put my hand up in the room as the nominate?
Please,
hand
go ahead.
As well, as chairing. So from my point of view, from a nominate point of view, I would be interested in seeing some options around variations on the banded model that we could have a good discussion about in Toronto. I also liked the point about developing the story, developing the speaking points. From my experience, it would be very good if the CCNSO would be able to say, we have calculated the IANA costs, assuming IANA still stays with ICANN, and we have covered our share of the IANA costs. And that would be a very powerful message to go back to the community. And touching on Sabine's point, that the contributions have always been voluntary. There are two or three CCs that have the contract with ICANN, and I don't see that situation changing. Yep. It's very important to remind, absolutely.
Yeah, and since we do have, perhaps it's also worth mentioning too, since there are quite a number of new folks in the CCNSO over the last little while, this is a voluntary contribution. And I don't think I'm out of turn in saying we'll remain that way, that this organization doesn't have a binding power over what the contribution number is. So that's also got to be made very clear. It's recommended, strongly suggested, but at the end of the day, it is voluntary. I would also, I acknowledge you, Rolf, in one second. We have heard this morning from a number of what I would call larger registries, certainly in terms of domains under management. I would be very interested in hearing from other voices, other regions, other registry sizes in terms of their comments. So I would encourage everybody to get involved in this conversation. I mean, at the end of the day, it is how we fund ICANN. It is certainly a topic of discussion outside of our community, about our community, so it's important that we get input from all parts of our community as we make this decision. Annabeth?
Now? Yes. Well, we are a small registry, so I can say something. And we contribute the voluntary with a fairly large amount compared with to the size of our registry. And I think the banding model absolutely is the best way. We do that in center. They do it in the ITU. So it, and also those who have no ability to pay and perhaps are in the starting phase, they do not have to pay, and they are not looked down on if they don't. One question from my side, is it we are an open and transparent organization, or all the constituencies should be that. Will it be open what everybody pays? So we were talking about sanctions, what happens if someone that should pay do not pay at all? Is it a kind of name and shame?
Well, the information is publicly available. So all of the all CC contributions are published by ICANN. So there is and the G, yeah. So all, yes, the G's and the C's, all the contributions by registry are published by ICANN and made publicly available. So it is there to be seen. I can't imagine that's going to change. Like some documents in ICANN, you have to go searching for it. So there is a opportunity, depending on where we go with this, to make that much more front and center and visible. But it is available. Roloff?
No, it's a sensitive subject, so I'm only phrasing the position of SIDN in this. But I wouldn't mind a contract with ICANN on payments, but those would be only the payments for the INS services, and of course that contract would contain service level agreements.
Okay, interesting point. Lise and Vika after, okay.
Well, Lisa Fuhr from .dk. Well, we're also a small registry, and we've paid ICANN all throughout the years, but that's mainly for the IANA function. But I'm not sure we'd like a contract anyway, because we've been very strongly against any ties towards ICANN. And but we're very much in favor of the fee ban too. And I don't know if I want other numbers than just the fee band. I'm a bit unsure of that part.
Thank you, Vika.
Thank you. I think probably speaking purely from my own CCTLD's point of view, I would lean yes towards the banded model. But I think we should appreciate, of course, that the choice will be between ICANN and each CCTLD, whether you sign a contract with ICANN or you have an exchange of letters as we do at ZA. I think from the working group point of view, it still doesn't absolve ICANN of the responsibility at some point to try and quantify the cost that it incurs for servicing CCTLDs. And obviously, I think there's general agreement. There was within the working group, the survey showed that the main service we consume or we require from ICANN is the IANA function. You know, so I still think going forward, there may be. I believe also that Xavier didn't necessarily imply that it's now closed. You will never explore this subject again. But it was an open admission that the EAG approach did not necessarily work well. So hopefully in the future we'll do that. But in the meantime, I can see the current arrangement continuing. sorry. And it will matter, of course, how ICANN conducts itself. You know, how honestly would feel more comfortable to justify even raising ZA's contribution to ICANN if there's transparency within ICANN, especially about the CCTLD costs at ICANN. And also the other relationship issues that ICANN needs to manage. For example, talking from the Africa point of view, where ICANN goes on a substantial crusade on GTLDs, and in spite of being told several times there's interest from Africa, they just didn't come. You know, how much that, what message that conveys to my government, which is already saying maybe the United Nations is the better place for internet governance. So how much that blunder, in my view, because I honestly say it's a blunder, more so it was justified by the fact that there are 17 applications from Africa, 14 of which come from South Africa. You know, I made a written request where I can come. There's demands that I would like to host. So those things also will have an impact. But eventually, I think the bed and bottle, voluntary between the each CCTLD and ICANN, and then the fact that ICANN still needs to justify the cost so that maybe in the future we may come up with a more objective framework for the CCTLD contributions.
Thank you, Vika. Being sensitive to time, it actually does appear that we've used our whole time slot, and we want to make sure we get to the GAC on time. So maybe I'll take this opportunity, and Leslie can jump in at any time to just play back some of the things that we've heard. I think first and foremost, what I've heard, certainly as chair of the Finance Working Group, is that there is an appetite and desire for the working group to carry on, to not pause, but to actually carry on strongly. I really like the notion of Matthew's comment that we can reframe this around what we value in ICANN and what value we bring to ICANN, and really center some of the discussion around that, while recognizing that we still need to actually do some deep plumbing around the financial numbers themselves. And as was recognized, I think, yesterday by the board, given that this group probably knows ICANN's finances better than ICANN, actually makes a meaningful contribution there and continue to understand, better understand what we cost. And also, if we lay down the assumptions, those become the points around where the debate will circle. I think we've discredited, or not we've discredited, the $9.2 million number has been discredited, so now it's up to us, and that's what I was hearing sort of Keith playback. It's up to us to put down the number, and we can make reasonable and fair assumptions around what allocations can be and some general costs, the notion of perhaps benchmarking. There's lots of benchmarking around registry costs, using those, staying away from the philosophical but concentrating on the numerical, and really developing a clear storyline that we as a community probably continue to say to ourselves but also repeat to the broad community, and having an understanding of what that clear storyline is and continuing to tell that story outside of this room and into the broader community. From what I've heard, certainly there seems to be a willingness to continue on with the banded model in some way, shape, or form, but recognizing perhaps there's a baseline cost around IANA that we should absolutely be paying in some more concrete way perhaps than is reflected in the banded model. I like Vika's final point that no matter what we do, we still need to hold that can accountable for providing some numbers. Which, to be fair to Xavier, I think he is technically very competent. He's a recent arrival, and he at least had the courage to come into the room 20 months into a 24-month process and speak the truth, which is, you know, sorry, but this is crap, to paraphrase, and we can't continue on. And we need to find a better path. So, I mean, as much as we were unhappy to hear that, I think we have to recognize that he showed some courage there to come in and do that. So those are some of the messages I heard. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
So the only ones I wrote down that you haven't covered is around guidance as to what band you should be in. And that guidance may also include something around the state of development of your registry, the country's economic size, or other factors. So a bit more guidance as to which band you should choose if you are able. I heard a strong feeling around voluntary contributions, and I should also add, you know, being a member of the CCNSO also won't oblige you to make contributions, which I know is something we've discussed previously. I did hear that a contract was a possibility with some, though that was also linked to service levels. And thank you. I mean, that was a really good conversation, and I think certainly helps informs the working group work, and we hope to bring something back to you for the next instalment of the soap opera, as somebody called it. Something like that. Okay. So we are now due at the GAC, and the GAC room is on this same floor down the other end of the hotel, and that session is due to start at 10, after which we go into coffee, and we're back here at 11. Thank you.